Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's motivational aim targets your identity is in Christ and not the crisis. I'm starting a new podcast series entitled Identity Crisis, and this series was inspired by a Bible plan I wrote with the same name, and my goal or my aim is to encourage listeners to thoughtfully analyze what and who they identify themselves with, because a person can experience an identity crisis at any point in time in their life. And there are so many occurrences a person encounters throughout their lifetime, and one's identity can be put into question at any phase, any stage, any level or event one finds themselves in. Not everyone shares the same experiences, but when a person exhibits empathy and the love of Christ, they can identify and relate with their fellow brother or sister. And I understand that people's experiences, their choices, their decisions often lead to where we see people today. But sometimes outsiders and even the person who is going through the identity crisis are unable to accept and properly pinpoint why they do what they do. And it could be an issue where the person does not have a handle on their own frames of reference or their own conceptual frameworks. So my aim, as I stated previously during this podcast series, is to encourage you to move through the occurrences, the events, and times in your life, all whilst you agree with God's word about what He says about you. Because your identity is not found in things. Your identity is not found in people. Your identity is not found in your past or your accomplishments. When it's all said and done, your identity is in Christ alone. And as believers in Christ, our aim is to identify the strongholds where Satan seeks to have an inroad in our lives and shut that all the way down with God's word. What Satan wants to do and what Satan often does is he tells you lies about yourself or about your family or anything concerning you. And in the enemy's eyes, Satan's eyes, you're a mark. You're a target. A target or a mark to spew lies and get you in a situation where you don't know who you are. And then when you don't know who you are, you start operating apart from who God created you to be. Our goal, our aim as children of God is to declare and believe the truth of what God says about us and operate in the future and hope God wants us to live out that He already has planned for our lives. And even if it takes a week, even if it takes a month, a year, a day, whatever it takes, we have to walk in God-honoring resilience, knowing that no matter what's going on, our identity is not in the negative, but our identity is in the positive, power-filled Word of God. And properly identifying who we are and whose we are is key. And as I pointed out previously, our identity is not in the accomplishments we've completed. Our identity is not in the people we know. Our identity is not in the relationships we're currently in. Our identity is not in the moments in time where we experienced our greatest victories or devastating defeats. Our identity is in Christ and in who God says we are. No matter how people treat us, individually or collectively, and a person can mistreat you in the most vile way, and some individuals more than others, they experience injustice daily. But no matter what somebody's doing to you or doing to your family and those you love, it still doesn't negate the fact that God's word about you is true. And even though those operate in evil, despicable, discriminatory manners do what they do to you and those around you, you have to trust in God's vindicative power, because they might get by, but they'll never get away. And when a human being experiences the mistreatment of another time and time again, it can be hard to see yourself the way God sees you. It's hard to see your identity, when something's been happening to you over and over and over and over again. But I'm encouraging you to intentionally aim and staying planted in God's word. And when I say stay planted in God's word, I'm not saying to dismiss what's going on. I'm saying to know who you are in Christ as you operate and stand for the right thing, stand for justice, and you stand for righteousness in every area and aspect of your life and what you believe is due to you. So I hope that you all have a clear understanding of the foundation of this series. And now I want to jump into today's motivational aim that I stated previously, and that is your identity is in Christ and not the crisis. And many people have encountered some form of mistreatment, disrespect, abuse, rejection, violation, manipulation, bullying, while others possibly were confined, abandoned, attacked, dismissed, and disregarded. Unfortunately, all of these forms of harmful actions that I've just mentioned describe the realities countless individuals experience by the hands, thoughts, words, and behaviors of others. Anyone who's been on the receiving end of disrespect, abuse, neglect, and ill treatment can process their life-altering offenses in a way that affects one's view of themselves. And sadly, the experiences that one encounters are indeed a part of their life's journey, but that does not define the person. Now, what a person went through could be a defining moment in their life, but it doesn't define who they are and who they'll always be. And it's important to remember that those are events and moments in time that a person went through. They are not a sum total of a person's life and who they were destined to be. It's an absolute work in progress to reprogram a person's thought process to understand their identity and to know that their identity is not found in the crisis, but their identity is found in Christ. When things are not checked and dealt with, a person who is enduring the hurt and pain from past events could really believe it is their current reality and identity. And what is even more damaging is the continuous cycle of identified abuse, because that can potentially cause somebody to view themselves in an unfavorable light based on what happened to them. And while negative things happen to people and continue to happen to people, it is not an accurate representation of who they'll become in life, nor is it an accurate representation of their worth, their value, or even what their children or loved ones will become. Never forget that, okay? Because God defines his children by his declared holy word. God's word declared over you and about you are true, sure, accurate representations of your identity. Aim to no longer believe the lies that you're worthless, you're nothing, you're useless, you're damaged, you're a victim, and oh, that happened to you, and that's who you are. You'll always be X, Y, and Z. You'll always be A, B, and C because of what happened to you and what you did and what somebody said and what you went through. Nah, God told you who you were, and it's important for us to believe what he says and begin walking in that, even though we go through trying times in life. Remember that God's word is true, and God contends with those who contend with you. And what that means is God is aware of what happened to you. He knows all about the bad things that happened to you, the evil things. And it's also important to understand that the evil things that occur were not sent by God. God is not sicking bad things on you. God is not sicking bad things on his children. God is not just waiting around, waiting for bad things to happen to people. No, we live in a fallen world of sin, and people have the free will to make the decisions that they make, and people are going to do what they want to do. And the decisions people make whether progressive or destructive, impact the lives of countless people. And since we are humans, we are affected by the choices people make. So when a person makes a bad decision, an evil decision, a thought-out, manipulative plan, a plot, a scheme, a destructive decision to affect you or your loved ones, the second half of the scripture found in Isaiah, the 49th chapter and the 25th verse states, I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. God is letting us know that He is our vindicator, He is our deliverer, and anyone who treats you with contempt, your family members with contempt, your loved ones with contempt, your people with contempt, God will deal with it, and God will deal with it in such a way where these individuals know that they shouldn't have done what they did to you, and they will reap the consequences for their actions. And this is a natural, scriptural, spiritual, physical fact. We all reap what we sow, more than we sow, later than we sow. And we might get by with some things, but in the end, we never get away with anything. Our aim is to keep loving God through every trial, every challenge, every obstacle, through the mistreatment, as He continues to use all of those things to work together for our good. And even though you're going through situations in life and you're despondent, you're sad, you are going through just so much and you're trying to figure out, oh my goodness, how is God going to work things out for my good? Keep living, keep trusting, because you will see in time how He did. And I find myself doing that a lot. During the time and during the season and during the years while I'm going through something, I'm trying to figure out, oh my goodness, why did this happen? This is crazy. This is uncomfortable. I don't like this. Or I thought I was supposed to have something. I thought I was supposed to be in a certain level, a certain place, somewhere. I was supposed to be somewhere in my mind. And I'm trying to figure out, man, why this didn't pan out? What's going on? What is the deal? And I just keep living, keep trusting, keep doing what I know to do. And then it could be a month, a week, a year, years go by. And I find myself thanking God because He let me look back, or let me see something, or let me experience something. Let me get a revelation on something. And I see, oh my God. And it just all comes together. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Lord, you really did work this out for my good. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person who's going through that, where you can see, oh my goodness, Lord, these obstacles, these trials, these tribulations, they were uncomfortable at the time. I thought I was going to break. I thought the worst. But Lord, you came through for me. And then not only did you come through for me, you were my vindicator with these people or these situations. You were my deliverer. And then you allowed me to go back and see everything, if it would have happened the way I thought it was supposed to happen, and even without the trial, how my life would be. And not only my life, several people who are impacted by just one person or one action alone. So our aim is to keep loving God through every trial, challenge, obstacle, and mistreatment. And just understand that our identity is not in any kind of crisis that we go through. Our identity is not in that action or that event alone. Our identity is in Christ. And we read in scripture, in Genesis, the 37th chapter through the 50th chapter, Joseph experienced obstacles similar to so many people. Joseph was favored by his heavenly father, God, and his earthly father, Jacob, but his brothers mistreated him. Joseph suffered abuse. He suffered neglect, discrimination, and rejection by the very ones who were supposed to show him love, inclusion, respect, and protection. Joseph was disregarded. He was overlooked, mistreated, and dismissed when he shared his dreams about his future and his experiences, but he would find later on that he would encounter his brothers, his blood, his fellow man, sell him out, abandon him, and band together to concoct a story about his death when they were the ones who abused and mistreated him. That's what's going on today. So not only did Joseph combat issues with his family, he had to deal with the people he was sold to as a slave. So now Joseph is a slave, he's working, and his master's wife, his boss's wife, lied on him. And she said he tried to make these sexual advances towards her. I mean, he was lied on, then he was locked up. He was looked on with disdain. He was put in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Then while he was in jail, people that he became cordial with, they needed his advice and he helped them. And then they were released and promoted and he was still there. And if you really take some time to prayerfully consider reading Genesis, the 37th chapter, all the way to Genesis, the 50th chapter, you'll see that, okay, you're reading these chapters, depending on how fast you read them. You could read all of that in a day. It could take you a week to read it, depending on your schedule. But although you read it in a week or you read that in a day, that didn't happen in his life in a day's time. That didn't go on for a couple of weeks. That went on for years. Years. Okay? This man was going through it. Every day, seemed like. Almost like he couldn't catch a break. And even though he was going through all that hell, all that discomfort, all of those trying situations, if you read your Bible, you will see how God favored him in the trials. God was with him. And then as he was going through that whole journey, God promoted him to be a blessing for not only his family, but God's people. And I'm pretty sure when he looked back, he was like, oh, God, you really was working this out for my good. I couldn't see it, but if this didn't happen, oh, my goodness. And if you read Genesis, like I said, the 37th chapter all the way to the 50th chapter, you will see him say that. He will have an understanding. This had to happen for me to get to this moment in time. But my identity is not in people lying on me, abusing me, mistreating me. My identity, or his identity, was not there. His identity was in God the whole time. His identity was not in people calling him a liar, calling him, well, he's dead, he's a show off, he's guilty. He didn't let those things define him and identify who he was. Because all of those things, guilty, liar, dead, show off, and so on, those were all lies. But his identity was in God the whole time. So even in the crises of his life, Joseph's identity was in God. And as he went through each journey of life, God was there confirming his identity. And he probably had some times where he questioned his identity, but we know he walked in who God called him to be, even in the most challenging times, because scripture repeats, as I just stated, that he was favored. And people around him knew he was favored. His family knew he was favored. The people who purchased him knew he was favored. The people who did him in knew he was favored. When he was a servant in his boss's household, he was favored. When the boss's wife tried to get with them, she knew he was favored. She was drawn to him for a reason. And although it was improper, she was possibly attracted to the favor of God on his life. And in her dark state of mind, she had no idea that she was attracted to the light. Joseph was thrown in prison for a crime he didn't commit, and he was favored. He was favored by other inmates. He was favored by the Pharaoh. He was favored through every season and change of his life. So God already declared a blessing over Joseph before his birth, by and through his great grandfather Abraham. God declared the identity of Abraham's descendants, stating, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." That's found in Genesis, the 17th chapter, in the 6th verse. And that's exactly what happened then and throughout history. Joseph was a prominent leader because God declared his identity even before the crisis and the crises he encountered. Now, although Joseph went through several obstacles, nothing or no one could strip him of his God-given identity. Joseph became the ruler of Egypt, and God made him exceedingly fruitful. What God declared, revealed, and confirmed about Joseph manifested in his life, even though his life's journey was a challenge. And this is a lesson for me, and this could be a lesson of encouragement for you also. God already declared your identity in him before you were born. God declared that you were blessed. God declared that you are favored, redeemed, forgiven, valuable, fearfully and wonderfully made. God declared that you are free, that you are a masterpiece. God declared that you're his chosen one. God declared that you're victorious, you're liberated, you're full of joy, you are wise, you're discerning, you're knowledgeable, you're smart, you're healthy, you're strong, you're forgiven, you're whole, you're full of purpose. God declared that you're complete. God declared that you're full of peace. God declared that you're prosperous, you're talented, you're unique. God declared that you're creative, unforgettable, a trendsetter. God declared that you're approved and that you are anointed. So no matter what you've been through, what you're going through, or what you will step into, never forget who you are in Christ, because your journey doesn't define your worth. You are identified by and in Christ, and that is something your journey and those around you will soon find out. Once again, you are not identified by the crisis you endured. You are defined by Christ. And the scripture I would like to leave you with is Isaiah, the 41st chapter, in the 9th through the 10th verse, that states, "I brought you from the ends of the earth and called you from its farthest corners. I said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you. I haven't rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand.'" This encouraging promise from God is letting us know that God called us, and when God called us, he identified us as his child. We are identified as servants of the Most High God, and we are chosen by him. We aren't abandoned. We aren't rejected, disregarded, or forgotten. Now, chosen means we were hand-picked. We were selected to be God's child and his representative. And despite the ills we will face, we need not fear, because God sees all, he knows all, he hears all, because he's sovereign and he is our father. God is our protector, he's our provider, our deliverer, and our redeemer. And as we go through things in life and the pressures of life seek to weaken us or even choke us, God said he would strengthen us. God will give us life. God will breathe into us. And when we feel helpless and all alone, God promised that he would help us. And when we feel as if we're losing our grip on life, our purpose, and our identity, God said that he will hold on to us with his righteous right hand. And when someone is holding on to you, that means they're not letting you go. No matter what's going on with you, they refuse to let you go, and they want to see you get on the other side of success and what God has for you. And When God is holding on to you, that means that you matter. That means that your life truly does matter. It means your purpose matters. Your influence matters. And most importantly, when people don't want to acknowledge that you matter, God is holding on to you, letting you know, and he's showing you that your identity in him matters. So never forget that your identity is not lost in the chaos and the crises of life, but your identity is found in Christ. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. And if you would like to download the Identity Crisis Bible Plan, feel free to head over to my website, drkenitrabryant.com, where you can access this resource for your individual or group Bible study. You also have the option to review a condensed version of the Identity Crisis Bible Plan on the YouVersion Bible app. And don't forget to share this podcast and connect with me on Instagram at encouragingyou. And enjoy the remainder of your day. Aim to live a life of God-honoring resilience, knowing that your identity is in Christ and not the crisis. Peace and God bless.